What a pastor was talking about thinking this morning, guarding your thinking. And that just got to stirring in my spirit. And I just want to ask you a question tonight. Are you ready? Who do you think you are? Come on, who do you think? Go ahead and bring the sermon title up, brother. Amen. Well, we're going to do the video first, right? I want you to see this little video. It's a commercial, and it's quick. Go ahead and bring it on up. It's real quick, and but it's got a message I want to bring to you. It's about these two ladies, and their identity was stolen, and they're going to talk like the men who stole their identity. So,
limit, who cares?
Not us, because them ain't all credit cards.
Sure ain't.
The motorcycles was expensive and fast.
It's loud.
Oh, yeah. Them bikes be like, wah!
No, like.
They went like, wah! Sound good because they free. Shoot.
City Identity Theft Solutions. Talk to a real person to help get your life back. Free when you get a Citi credit card or Citibank account.
I mean, a couple of guys stole their identity and got motorbikes. I mean, and they were just... And you didn't hear it because it went too fast.
First, I emptied the checking account, and then I hit the mall.
That's YouTube for you. It always starts the next one. That's why I like to download them. Praise God. We couldn't get it downloaded. But there was a little phrase there. It said, choose Citibank and get your life back. All right? So I want you to think about that. And we're not talking about a credit card tonight. We're talking about our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you stand tonight, I want you to ask your neighbor, who do you think you are? Come on. Just turn around. Stand and ask them tonight. Go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Who do you think you are? Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy the Wilsons and Sister Cricket and these tonight, I'll tell you. And it's good to see Quentin back. He came last Sunday night. And Brother Vic came last Sunday. We had people that showed up last Sunday night that we didn't get the message out that we were closed last Sunday night. So just be known, we don't have church on Easter Sunday night, Mother's Day Sunday night, and Father's Day Sunday night. And I would say Pastor Appreciation Sunday night, but our pastor wants it on Sunday night because after that meal, I'm dead tired. But that's another story for another day. All right. But Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. And the power of his Christ, for the what?
Accuser
of our brethren is cast down. What did he do? He accused them before our God day and night. The accuser of the brethren. It's very important what you think. And I want to ask you tonight, who do you think you are? Father, anoint your servant to preach the word of the Lord tonight. We thank you for the anointing that's in the house tonight and on these grounds. And God, we thank you for all that you've done. And we feel like it's building up to even greater things to come. And we ask tonight to bless the reading of the scripture. For your son's sake, we pray, Lord, may I decrease and may you increase. And may this word go forth tonight and meet every need. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody that you're glad to see them. And God bless you. Ask them one more time. Who do you think you are? Come on. Amen. One of the most popular crimes today is when someone gets a hold of your personal information, such as your credit card number, bank account, or your social security number, and then uses that information to obtain credit or mortgages or make purchases. Just curious tonight, has anybody had their identity stolen and somebody has spent money? We have a couple of them that have. That is a terrible thing. And it is so hard to unwind. It's called identity theft. Say that with me, identity theft. And identity theft is a criminal offense. It occurs when a person knowingly transfers or uses without lawful authority a means of identification of another person with the intent to commit, aid, or abet an unlawful activity that constitutes a violation of federal law, and it is a felony. It is, listen to this, the fastest growing crime in America. More than 9.9 million Americans last year were a victim, 9 million, and it cost about $5 billion. You see, when I think of identity theft, I have to think of our accuser, the devil. He has a desire, and that is to steal our identity by accusing us. And what does he do? He tells us we are something that we are not, or he tells us that we're not something that we are. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 that we have someone who is pleading for us. In Hebrews 7 and 25, it says he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he what? He ever lives to make intercession for them. So while the devil is accusing us, Jesus is interceding for us. And the thing is that he knows he can't deceive God about you, but he can deceive you about God. You see, the sad truth of the matter is that among the rank and file of God's mighty army, and you are part of that army. You may think you're a weak part, but you're a part. You are a part of that army. And so many of the army of the Lord, they think they're weak. They're weak because they think they're weak. They're emaciated because they think they are emaciated. They're no good because they think they're no good. And so tonight I want to ask you the question, just who do you think that you are? The Bible tells us who we are. It's important how we answer that question, who do we think we are? A man was looking for a job and he noticed that there was an opening at a local zoo. He inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that they wanted to fill. Apparently their gorilla had died, and until they could get a new one, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla for a few days. He was just to sit there, eat and sleep. His identity would be kept a secret, of course. Thanks to a great gorilla suit, no one would be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for his job, so the man decided he'd take it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, he looked just like a gorilla. They led him to the cage. He took a position at the back of the cage. He pretended to sleep. But after a while, he got tired of sitting, and so he walked around and jumped up and down, and he made a few gorilla noises. And the people who were watching him seemed to like it. When he moved or jumped around, they would clap and cheer and throw him peanuts. And the man loved peanuts. So he jumped around more and tried climbing a tree. And that seemed to really get the crowd excited. And they threw more peanuts. And playing to the crowd, he grabbed a vine and began to swing from one side of the cage to the other. And the people just loved it. And they threw more peanuts. And this was great, he thought. He swung higher and the crowd grew bigger. He continued to swing on the vine, getting higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, the vine broke. He swung up and out of the cage, he landed in the lion's cage that was next door. He panicked. There was a huge lion 20 feet away, and it looked hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and said, "Help, help, get me out of here. I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit. Somebody help me." And the lion quickly pounced on the man, held him down, and said, "Will you shut up? You're going to get the both of us fired." Who do you think you are? You're not a gorilla. You're not a lion. Don't put on airs. Don't try to be somebody or something that you're not. Just, Pastor, be who you is. Amen. Be who God has made you to be. You are the child of God. You are a daughter or son of the Most High God. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You don't have to be like somebody. You just be who God, because you are special. You are precious. He died for you. God is love, and you have been loved by our Heavenly Father. Just who do you think you are? You're God's child. You ought to praise Him for it, and He's going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He walks with me and he talks with me. I'll tell you, in the midnight hour when the devil roars like a roaring lion in his suit, I'll tell you, the king of the word of God comes back and says, I am blessed and highly favored of God. That's who I think I am. I am blessed. Say it with me. I am blessed and highly favored. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Point number one. Who do you think you are? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm just a terrible something and awful and this, that, or the other. And let me just say this to you, that we all struggle with sin. And it's one thing to struggle with sin. It's another thing to be an outright sinner. I want you to know 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 is talking about you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that what? We might be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. Hallelujah. I'm the righteous. Who do I think I am? I'm the righteousness of God. That doesn't tell me because of my talent or my ability. It says we were made that way. Somebody say we were made that way. You see, God didn't choose us because of our own righteousness. The Apostle Paul told us this. He said he marveled at the grace of God because before he was a blasphemer, an injurious, even a murderer, a persecutor of the church. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, down toward the last part of verse 4, God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love worth, he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, verse 5, hath quickened us up together and raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, to make it even more plain, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am the righteousness of God. I'm not self-righteous. I know I've done wrong. I know I've messed up. But let me tell you something. Don't look at me for what I was. You look at me at what God is making me. And I'll tell you who I think I am. I'm the righteousness of God. Amen. Philippians 3 and verse 9 says, being found in him. What is this? Not having what? My own righteousness, which is of the law. Have you met some of these self-righteous people? They've got their nose stuck up in the air. And they've never sinned since 1936. They don't even have a wrinkle in their trousers. They are just so self-righteous. And when you walk in the church and you've had your struggles and God's rescued you from drugs and you, the other day at work, you lost your temper and blah, 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 blah. And you come to church and there they are. And they're looking at you, and they don't just look at you, they look at you like this. Who do you think you are? Listen, I'm not telling you to sin and just flaunt in it. That's not what I'm talking about. Because I'm going to tell you, when you understand that you are the righteousness of God, it'll put a desire in you to be holy before him. Amen. It'll desire you to hate those things. When you do lose your temper, you feel terrible about it. When you do mess up, you think, oh, God, I've messed up. But you don't just do it and think, well, that's just me. I'm just giving somebody a piece of my mind. No, you're the righteousness of God, and you need to walk in his righteousness, and you need to pray when you mess up. But listen, you don't ever need to be self-righteous, and you don't ever need to let people look at you. The prophet Isaiah talks about those with a holier-than-thou mentality. Oh, my friend, we can never be good enough. We can never be good enough. It's not what somebody has done. It's what he did. We are the... Who do you think you are? Tell somebody, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout amen tonight. Now, if you could make your own self righteous, what would you do? Read the Bible more? All right. Then what? Go to church more? Well, then what? Volunteer for every job in the church? All right. Is that going to make you more holy? What about giving all your money away? Then what? Then sell your home. Renounce your family. Live on the bare essentials of life. Even Paul said to give my body to be burned. Then what? The truth of the matter is we can't do enough to make us more righteous and more holy in the legal sense of the term. Are you with me here tonight? You've got to trust and rely that even when you fail, even when you mess up, even when you have fear or doubt, or when you say something or sin, you've got the devil will try to tell you you're the worst sinner, you never got saved, and he'll try to tell you, who do you think you are? Going to that church? I know what you are. Let me tell you who he is. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he's accusing you. It's called condemnation. But my Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when he shall come, go ahead and give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It is not my self-righteousness. It is that he made me righteous. And who do I think I am? And who do you think you are? Say it with me. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, and I'm going to get on to the next one. But you are, verse 12:22. But you are coming to Mount Zion, that means the church, and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. And this also speaks of eternity to happen. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Watch this. And to the God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men. Now, if you took out that word made, it would read like this: to the spirits of just men, perfect. Now, there are some godly people here, and there are some good people here. But there's nobody perfect here. But it says we're perfect, doesn't it? Well, how do we get perfect? Brother Ricky, you know I struggle with things. You know I'm trying to live godly. Let me tell you what. You're going to a place where people were made perfect. Not that are perfect. It didn't say to the spirits of just men who are perfect, but the spirits of just men who've been made perfect. Why don't you praise him that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You can rest assured in his saving grace. Who do you think you are? Number two, you are more than a conqueror. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. Through who? That what? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, that means you, even though you may be a little bigger little one. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but sing it with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Can't hear you. Yeah, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. And who do you think you are? You are somebody that Jesus loves. Satan tells you you're not loved. Satan tells you your husband left you. Satan tells you your children don't call you enough. Some of your biggest fear is going to the nursing home. And once you go to that nursing home, you know you'll never see those children again. I meant that to be funny, but it's very sad, isn't it? We feel like people don't love us. We feel like our sometimes the people we do the most for show the love least. Can you say amen? But it says he loved us. Who do you think you are? You're somebody that God loves. God loves. God loves. And I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Somebody say, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. So now, well, Brother Ricky, I struggle with alcohol, and I drank something the other day. But you're still more than a conqueror. Why? Well, number one, you didn't give up on the Lord. Number two, you're in church. Number three, you hate it. You don't want to do it. And number four, you're going to be victorious. You are victorious right now. Amen. You are already a victor. The Bible didn't say you're going to be more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror right now. Well, I lost it. Well, let me explain it to you. This is the easiest way for me to explain it. The easiest way. I didn't go to theological seminary, so I only have things that is everyday life to kind of explain spiritual things. And my best explanation is the World Series. You know, the baseball game, the World Series. And the World Series is not one baseball game, but it is seven baseball games. And the one that wins four baseball games has won the series. So theoretically, a baseball team, if they win game one, they win game two, they win game three, then the other team wins game four, maybe wins five, maybe wins six. They're what? They're tied. So whoever wins game number seven has won the series. Can I get a witness out there? So now the thing is, whoever wins the fourth game first, it's over. In other words, they don't play all seven games. But just imagine if all seven games had to be played. Tickets had to be bought. Commercials had to be played. Let's just say that the home team had won four straight games, and yet they still had to play the other three. Are y'all with me? Can we think like that? I know that's not the way it is, but think with me about that. And everybody nod your head and say amen. But let's just say that the home team won the fourth game. They've already won the series, but they still got to play game five. They still got to play game six, and they still got to play game seven. But the thing is, they've already won it. Well, let's just say they play game five, and oh no, they lose it. Let's just say they play game six, and they lose that one. Well, let's just say they even play game seven, and they lose the final game. They still already won. Why? Because whoever wins four games has won the series. Folks, I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus already won the victory for us. I may lose game six tonight, but I tell you, I've already won because Jesus took the final blow. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead, and I'm victorious because the series is already set. I may have to lose an inning. I may lose this. I may lose a battle here and there, but as long as I stay in the Lord, I am going to ultimately, Jude said it, unto him that is able to present us faultless before the throne with glory. It's coming. Somebody shout amen. Who do you think you are? I'm more than a conqueror. How many of you are more than conquerors here tonight? I didn't say you feel like it. I didn't say that you didn't struggle a little bit or even a lot of bit. I'm just telling you right now that it's happening. In fact, I was years ago, I watched a football game, and right here at this church, it was Walt Watson who did it, told me who won the game that night. I have used this story 100 times. I've never called his name. But he was out in the parking lot, and knew the Dallas Cowboys had lost, the Dallas Cowboys had won a game, and I didn't want to know until I went home, and I taped it and was going to watch it myself, and I was trying my best to get out of here without finding out who won the game. But Bro Walt Watson told me who won the game that night, and you know what? I went home and watched the game anyway. And would you believe the Cowboys, they lost yardage? Would you believe they missed field goals? Would you believe it got over into the fourth quarter and they were still down? But Walt Watson said they were going to win. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe he was just playing around with me. But I'm here to tell you, in that fourth quarter, Brother Walt was right. And the Cowboys won that year. That's about the last time they won. But I'm just here to tell you, it may look like you've lost some yards. In fact, one of their key players hobbled off the field. I said, no. But friend, I already knew the end from the beginning. We were winners before I even watched it. Oh, hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. I already know I'm going to win. And tell Brother Walt I love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said that was in 1996. That's a long time ago. Well, the same thing happened 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to update my story. I'm going to give Brother Walt a rest on this one. The Masters, 2 Sundays ago. And everybody's talking about Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. I'm like, that boy ain't going to win. He ain't got a chance. He might be strong, but he ain't going to win. And I'm like, well, I told Darnell, when the Masters come on, I'm sorry, read a book, go do something, go visit your mama. We're watching every stroke, every hole. I'm just telling you, I'm just going to watch it. And somebody at work texted me, who was a Tiger Woods fan, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, said, what about Tiger Woods? I thought about Brother Walt. I said, doggone, somebody didn't tell me who won the Masters. Then I looked on Facebook, and it was all over Facebook. I said, so anyway, long story short, sure enough, I went home, told Darnell I was going to watch it anyway. And I'm telling you, Brother Philip, on that back nine, he missed some shots. I mean, one of them went straight to the hole and went right around. I'm like, he's down. He ain't playing like a winner. Oh, my goodness. And there was a man leading, an Italian man leading. And I'm telling you, he was like 3 or 4 straight. That's hard. I'm like, I don't know now. You know, maybe somebody's playing with me or something. But I'd already seen it. But let me tell you, and Darnell and I, she was watching. She was doing something else, but she was watching with me. But I'm telling you, sure enough, when they got down to that 18th hole, Tiger Woods won. I'm going to tell you something. Who do you think you are? You're not Tiger Woods, but you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, because I've already read the back of the book. Somebody shout amen tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 3, who do you think you are? You are a child of God. Look at Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to bring this to a close here the next couple of hours. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? And if children, then we're what? And then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, contrary to popular opinion, not everybody who is a human being is a child of God. This is an incorrect statement when people say this, well, we are all children of God. I'm telling you, Osama bin Laden was never a child of God. I'm here to tell you, people who are, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Didn't God make, we're all creations of God. But that isn't, being a creation and a child is two different things. I can create a birdhouse, but it's not my child. Can you say amen? Let me tell you that you are children, and we're all children of Adam. Adam is our father. Adam and Eve, father and mother. But here's the good news. You can become a child of God by adoption. And let me tell you, we're all born into the Adams family. How many of you remember that old show, all right? The Adams family, right? But let me tell you, you were adopted. Now, you know what adoption is all about. When a child is adopted, the child takes on the name of that family. Praise God, we have a name that's higher than any other name. When a child is adopted, the child moves into the residence. Somebody say amen. If the devil wants to get to me, he has to knock at the door and ask for permission, because I'm in residence. When a child is adopted, that child also becomes legally able to inherit whatever the parents leave them. And I want you to know that when a child is adopted, it's one thing when a parent has a child, a natural born child, they just take what God gives them. But when they adopt a child, they choose to set their love up. When you have a child, you got to love them, and you will love them. Most people do. Some people don't. Very, very rare, but it happens. But when it comes to adoption, whoever's adopted, they think, well, I'm so sad. You know, my parents gave me up. No, the flip side is that some parents chose me. They didn't have to choose me. And that's the same way with God. He chose us even after we'd sinned, even after we had messed up, even while we were yet in sin. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, thank God, I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been adopted. That's who I think I am. I'm my daddy's son. This is my father's world. I have his name. I have his residence. He's going to prepare a place for me and a mansion in glory. And I also have his inheritance. I'm going to receive through the blood of Jesus all that my brother paid for on the cross of Calvary. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to give him a hand of praise tonight. Just who do you think you are? Look at Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye." Now listen to me. The apple of the eye is the most sensitive part of your body. You can't even begin to put your finger towards your eye without your eye beginning to water, unless you wear contacts. Now wear contacts. I can put stuff in my eye in and out. But when I first started wearing contacts, it took me an hour. I had to sit down. I had to prep myself. I had to get that contact just right. I had to slowly move it to my eye. Once I got it in my eye, I had to take it back out. Then I had to put it back in. It took an hour. You want to know how long it takes me to take contact out now? I can take it out and put it back in about half a second. Why? Because my eye's used to it. But your eye is sensitive. And God is saying that he that touches you is like touching my sensitive eye. You are loved. What love is that? The Bible says that he bottles our tears. The Bible says that we are his children. Now, how many of you love your children here tonight? Come on, you love them. Just raise your hand. Go and admit it. If you don't love them, that's okay too. Now, we'll pray for you. Do you really love your children? I mean, they are just, my mama raised her hand, I hope. did she raise her hand? Okay, all right. But I was just checking. All right. I want you to know that the love that you have for your children is great. Amen. And no matter what they do, they're your children. You hope they do well, but you're still going to love them when they don't. If your child goes to prison, you're still going to love them, ain't you? Right. If your child becomes a senator, you're still going to love them. Right. And I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father loves you. And he chose you, and he's called you. And who do you think you are? I'm a child of the King. Somebody say amen tonight. And then, Brother Pastor Jerry, I'm going to close with this. I am the righteousness of God. Say amen. I'm more than a conqueror. Say amen. I am a child of God. Say amen. And I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. Have we got it? Galatians 3 and 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed of everyone that hangeth on a tree. We all know those horrible days in history called slavery. And we had a world of slavery. It was just the way the world operated up until Christians rose up and put an end to it. Amen. It wasn't a political party that did it. It was Christians. Born again. It was not Islam that did it. It was not Buddhism that did it. In fact, they still have slaves in those religions. It was Christianity and God-fearing people that said, we will put an end to slavery. Amen? And slaves would be auctioned. Isn't that terrible? Can you imagine being put on an auction block? They look at your eyes. They look at your muscles. And this one says, he's worth this. This one says, no, he ain't worth that. How terrible is that? It's like being in school and they want to say everybody's going to form two teams and the best two players, you choose who you want. And how many of you know that many times there were people who were the last ones chosen? Right? But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain lifestyle. Verse 19, but with the what? The precious blood, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Oh, let me tell you that Jesus Christ looked at me and I was blemished. And I was the last one chosen. I didn't have athletic ability. I didn't have the looks. I didn't have this and I had that. But when Jesus came by and old Satan was just trying to pawn me off and just use me and abuse me, Jesus said, I'm going to take him. I'm going to redeem him. And I'm going to put a royal robe on him. And I'm going to put a ring on his finger and a chain of gold about his neck and a crown on his head. I have been redeemed from the auction block of sin and slavery. I can hold my head up high. I may not be the president, but I am in resident with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter the car that you drive. It doesn't matter the house that you live in. If he died for you, he redeemed you by his blood. And you can think of yourself as redeemed. And who do you think you are? You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen tonight? Can you say amen tonight? The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 36, and Brother Clark, if you'll come and get ready to sing that song, I am redeemed. John chapter 8, verse 36. Read it out loud with me. Everybody, read it. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Give him a hand of praise. Who do you think you are? I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. Now notice that, Brother Blue, if you'll keep that up there. It says, if the Son, really the word if means since the Son, therefore shall make you free. Make you free. Now, a lot of people quote that, and maybe it is like that, but a lot of people say if the Son shall set you free. But it didn't say set you free. It said the Son will what? Now, how many of you know there's a big difference between something set and something made? That's like going back to my slavery illustration. I was bought off the auction block. Somebody redeemed me and set me free. Well, then what? Where do I go? I don't have any money. I don't have a house to live in. I've got a stomach to fill. There's a world out there. See, it's one thing just to be set free. And a lot of people get set free. They'll stop drinking for a while or they'll stop drugs. But you don't need to just be set free. You need to be made free. What do you mean? Not only am I set free and I'm off the auction block, but the one who redeemed me said, I've got clothes for you. I've got a banquet for you. I've got a room for you. Mansions in glory. See, I haven't just been set free. Brother and sister, I've been made free. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who, as Sister Samantha said in her testimony, they've been abused and hurt. But I want to tell you, she has not only been set free, but I'll tell you what, when you heard her last Sunday, you know that woman has been made free because she's not the same person. God has taken that away. Doesn't mean there's still not sorrow there because of hurts from yesterday, but she is free. And how many else are free here tonight? Let me see your hand. Just who do you think you are? I'm free. I am redeemed. I have been set free by the precious blood of the Lamb. Somebody say amen here tonight. Amen. Say, I am the righteousness of God. I am more than a conqueror. I am a child of God. I am redeemed. I'm going back to Citibank. Help get your life back. And that's what I want to happen tonight. I want you to get your life back. I want you to stand with me tonight. It's not Citibank that's going to help you get your life back. It's Jesus Christ who will help you get your life back. He loves you. He died for you. Why not receive the gift of eternal life? Why not bow your knee to him and say, my ever-living breath is yours. You were so precious to me. You showed love and pity to me when I had sinned, even a small sin. Can we just lift our hands and praise him tonight? Can we just lift our hands and praise him tonight?
Redeemed, I've been bought with a price.
Come on, sing it.
Jesus changed my whole life.
Everybody.
Will it be fine?
Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Let's close
Jesus
in prayer. Everyone, if you would. Just who do you think you are? Come on down tonight. Let God bring your world back.
Just who I am.
You're redeemed, my brother. You're more than a conqueror, my brother. You're a child of the God, my brother. Lift up your head. Who do you think you are? You are God's son. His hand is on your life. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Oh, God, thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch my brother tonight. He's a child of God. Lord, give her strength in her body tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. She's a child of God. She's a child of the King. She has inheritance. Oh, God, my brother, who do you think you are? Yes. All things have passed away. God, just use him, Lord. Use him, Lord, for your glory. Oh, God, there's a work to be done, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this trophy of grace. Oh, God, for this testimony. She is a child of the Lord. She's already won the series. Oh, God, help her every day to be victorious. Every day, every way. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Oh, God, touch my mother. Touch her body. Bring healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. She's your daughter, God. Oh, Lord, help her to know you. Help her to grow in you. Help her to love you and serve you greater. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for the precious woman of God. Oh, who do you think you are, my sister? God's hand is on your life. He's working. He's made a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, my brother, God is a healer. God, I just ask right now you bring healing.